The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Howdy, this is Kelly Campbell from Galveston Island, Texas, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 451 of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on today's show is, of course, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Chris Eliopoulos. And we are joined by Chad Werick and by Jennifer Teague von Hoffman as we continue our review of the 2017 Walt Disney World Marathon Weekend. And if you have heard, it was a very unusual weekend, and Michelle and Jennifer and Chad and yours truly was there, and Chris is asking us all about it. So sit back and enjoy part two of our review of this very unusual race weekend.
So Jennifer, you were just there to run the half. So the next day wasn't, you guys didn't volunteer, nobody didn't volunteer for the 10?
I ran the 10. Mike ran the 10.
The 10. Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, in fact, I was doing the Goofy plus the 10, and I can't tell you how many people asked me why I wasn't just doing the Dopey. And
right. And
the reason that I wanted to do it is I really, really like to volunteer, and I think it's important, and I have done the Dopey before. So personally, I just feel like I get a lot out of that volunteer. I mean, I would have missed seeing Chad get his first Disney medal. So, it's really personally rewarding. I really enjoy it. So that's why I decided to do it. But the 10K.
Yeah. So this is the first time you've done this kind of multi-race over multiple days thing, right?
Yeah, more or less.
I mean, you've done ultra, you've done sort of that kind of stuff. But
right.
I know when I did my Dopey, I was kind of really nervous about blowing myself out early in the event. So I took it really easy on the first couple of days in the races and then afterward. Did you do the same thing, or did you just sort of run to the parks after the 5K and say, I got this?
Well, the 5K race I actually took kind of slow because I was so excited to see all the characters that I stopped for pictures with a lot of them. And no, I didn't actually have a time goal for the 5 or the 10K. It was just sort of enjoy the experience, get my money's worth, and just soak in the atmosphere. The only beginner mistake I made, and it was a doozy, was I actually arrived in Orlando the Monday of that week on January 2nd, and I was just so happy to be down there by myself that I hit the parks hard Monday and Tuesday. And I went open to close in the Magic Kingdom and Epcot. And then Wednesday, I was feeling it. So I realized that's not happening again.
It's that hard thing because it's right there. Those parks are there and you can go run and play. But you got to remember that concrete is just awful on the legs.
Right. I actually didn't even go to the parks the last 3 days I was there. It was
It gets to you, right? So
yeah.
So anyway, so we're going to go move on to the 10K. The 10K course is the same as always?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So same time, did you, Michelle, did you drive over there or did you take a bus?
Drove over. Yep, drove over, had to rent a car.
Did Mike drive you or you?
Yep.
Wow, so Mike got up with you? He made sure that
Mike
he got
running.
You?
No, Mike was running.
Oh, I didn't realize Mike ran too.
Mike, you should tell your story.
All right, here's the story, Chris.
All right, give the story.
Because of so many issues in the fall, could not train well. The weather up here was terrible. We really hadn't run since November 9th. And I just wasn't feeling it. So I didn't even bring my running stuff. And then when I get down there and I'm doing the volunteer stuff and I'm at the expo and I run into Jeff and I run into McGilvery and I run into Rudy. And, well, I didn't run. Actually, Rudy ran into us. But I said to Michelle, I think I want to run tomorrow. I didn't have anything. I had a pair of running shoes that probably had about.
You didn't bring anything to run. Not even the right shoes.
Yeah, so not my Mickey. I didn't bring my Mickey Mouse stuff. So I thought, what can I do? So I went to the expo after the 5K, and I bought a pair of running shorts. I had a running shirt because you get one, right? And I used my Apple Watch for I used it as a running watch and as a music thing. And so I decided that, yeah, I'm going to run the 10K. So I ran the 10K. You know, it wasn't.
Now, you already had a bib for this, though, right? You already paid for one?
Yeah, yeah. I just didn't feel like I was really going to be able to run it and survive. But I think after so many years of running, sometimes you know what to do without hurting yourself. And so I used that to plug it through. And, it wasn't my fastest. It wasn't my slowest, but it wasn't my fastest. So I got to see a lot of people along the way, and I wanted to try something in the corrals, which was very
interesting. You're always trying something.
This is what I tried. So
you're up to shenanigans all the time.
So Chad alluded to this. What they were doing this time around was to thin it out, was each corral had four waves. Each wave was released every 2 minutes. And what I did is I did something that Jeff has always mentioned to us, and that is, you know, if you want some room to run, stay at the back of your corral, which I did. I stayed at the back of my corral. I was the last one to leave my corral. And I got a chance to talk with John Pelkey, and I got a chance to see Rudy. They had me on the screen, the whole thing. But it was really nice because there was nobody in front of me. And I actually ran a little bit too fast to take off. And I said, wait a minute, I haven't run in a while. I have to take it easy. So there were a lot of things that I learned last weekend that I think in future Run Disney races I'm going to, you know, take along with me. But, yeah, I didn't plan on running the 10K, but I ended up running, and then I had to decide after the 10K if I was gonna tackle the half marathon. So I actually broke all the rules, Chris. Number one,
yeah.
I wore a pair of shorts that I had never worn before in my first race, and
don't try this at home.
And here's the other one. Here's the one.
What not to do?
Here's the real curse. I actually wore the race shirt for that race.
You did.
Bad mojo.
Yeah, I had the white. Yeah. I think the 10K was the white shirt. I wore the white shirt underneath another shirt. So, yeah, I broke that rule too. So.
Wow.
Bad mojo.
Rule breaker. Yep. And I think Jennifer was just sleeping in that day.
I did. I totally slept in the 10K. I didn't even go cheer.
But we did have a Mickey Milers meet. I can't remember. Was it at the bakery that day?
Nope, it was at Sunshine Seasons.
Sunshine Seasons. And
no, because Sunshine Seasons was the day of the 5K.
Yes, okay.
Oh,
so,
you're
yeah,
right,
it
you're
was
right,
the bakery
right.
The day of the 10K because I missed that one.
You're
okay.
Right,
and
right.
I should mention that Karen Skilling came and brought our award. Chris, I don't even think I told you this, that the Mickey Milers were the top fundraising group for the Gingerbread Run, and we actually got an award. So, like a glass.
Where's mine?
Yeah, I'll send it to you. So anyway, but when I saw you, Jennifer, at the after the 5K, I think that's when you. All I remember is every time I saw you, you had your phone out and you were looking at the weather.
I'm like,
so
looking at the weather.
Why don't you tell us what was going on in your head at that point?
Well, at that point, I was actually, by Friday during the day, I was pretty hopeful because actually the forecast had gotten better. Mm. The chance of thunderstorms had gone down and the number of hours of prediction of thunderstorms had gone down. So the fact that the trend was good was a little bit encouraging, but I was still concerned because there still were many hours of thunderstorms predicted. Several of which were either during race setup times or during the race.
Mm. And so at about 7 o'clock, no, it was before that, about 5 o'clock the night before, we started getting all sorts of warnings from Run Disney, with a preponderance of caution, we are looking at the weather and, you know, we'll let you know at this time, and then we'd get another one. And then for me, I had just, I really wanted to get a good night's sleep. I hadn't slept very well the two previous nights. So I actually took a sleeping pill or, you know, just a sleep aid at about 6:50 or 7 o'clock. And right after I took it, like 5 minutes later, Chad, do you want to share what notice we got?
We got the official, due to a preponderance of caution, the half marathon has been canceled. Yes.
Hmm.
I was like, I'm ashamed to admit it, completely out of the loop. I had no idea what was going on until finally, right before I turned in, I just decided, I think I'll go on Facebook and see if people had posted some pictures. And I'm like, well, what are these interesting postings coming
by? I think you had a flat Chad that you posted, too.
Yeah, I even had a flat Chad. I was all set and ready to run. I had no idea.
It was kind of interesting because I was in contact with John and Rudy, and Rudy said that he hadn't heard anything officially. Pelkey was funny. He said, you know, I'm going to turn my phone off at 8 o'clock. I'm going to go to sleep, and then I'll wake up at 2 o'clock and figure out what I'm going to do.
And so I was asking Carissa, and Carissa wasn't sure either at that point.
So obviously they had to let the runners know ASAP, and the volunteers, because the volunteers, you know, some of them had to be out there real, real early, like in about 5 or 6 hours.
It was remarkable because it was the first time that, I mean, they had shortened the race at Wine and Dine, but it was the first time that they canceled it. Am I wrong?
Yeah, you're right. And what's interesting is that it happened in January. Well, you wouldn't think that something like this would be.
Right. So it's January when they're in the middle of a drought, and it's in the morning when you don't expect there to be lightning storms. And, It was really remarkable. I mean, it was really kind of surprising. And all I thought of is poor Jennifer.
Yeah, Jennifer, what was your reaction at that point? You've been waiting 2 years to get here, and you finally had the opportunity, and then they say, guess what?
Well, so I met my aunt for dinner at about 6:30. And the announcement came out at about 7, but I was not online until probably 9 or so. Mm. And so by the time I got online, it was like I had a zillion text messages and Facebook Messenger messages.
You too.
People had like posted on my Facebook wall and tagged me on their posts. And so it was mostly really, really bad. My emotionally, I just was really, really upset. But on the other hand, it was really nice that so many people immediately thought of me, you know, and I know my friend Lisa, my co-host on Those Darn Cats, like she had sent me a million text messages. And I think it was just killing her that she didn't have a response from me yet because I'd just been sitting.
She's in the bathroom crying.
She's like, oh, my God, how is Jennifer doing? But it turns out my aunt actually, on her way home, driving out of Disney World, saw signs saying the half marathon was canceled. So she was then worried about me.
Yeah,
so
and I had a friend who was just in Orlando on another vacation. I guess they mentioned it on the news. So she texted me, oh, the race has been canceled. So
it was in the Orlando Sentinel and everything. I mean, clearly this was a big deal, not just to me personally, but like this was kind of a big deal. But yeah, I was very upset. So I made a call home and my spouse kind of talked me down from a ledge, and that was helpful. and I had the Oh, and then there was the wait for what's Run Disney going to do.
Yes.
Because they said, like, at 10 o'clock, we'll tell you what we're going to do in terms of sort of compensation or deferrals or whatever. I can't remember exactly what their words were. And then I think at 10 o'clock, they said, we'll tell you later.
Yeah, I think it was 11 because I saw it when I got up. And really, in fairness to them, they didn't have to do anything.
No, they didn't.
They really didn't have to
do
anything.
You sign a waiver saying basically if anything goes wrong with the weather, it's not their fault. And
but there seemed to be a lot of, just with the people that I was talking to, there seemed to be a lot of expectation that they had to do something. But they didn't. So does anybody want to try to tackle what they offered?
Well, how about this? Why don't we just step back 1 second before we hit the play forward, because I just want to go back and hit the 10K a little bit.
Oh, sure.
Before we maybe split the show here and or a little after this. But I wanted to find out if Chad had learned any lessons before he got ready for the bus on Friday morning.
Well, unfortunately, I was already in my wake up at 2 a.m. mode. My body let me sleep in. So I just popped awake. I had heard from some people, I think at Pop or something, that the restaurants had coffee and things set up, but at French Quarter, there was nothing. Like, the restaurant was not opening until 6, period. They had no coffee or anything. So, but I mean, I just popped awake and got down there and got on the first bus and happily went over to the corrals and I figured, you know, I'd rather be there. I've always would rather be someplace early than late anyway, so right. I was fine.
Did you guys enjoy the course, all three of you? Was it anything different, or was there anything exciting about it?
It was pretty much the same. I really liked the 10K course. It's a fun. I love the distance of a 10K. To me, it's just a teeny bit challenging, but you can go a little bit faster. And I don't usually stop for characters. I had heard in the 5K that there are 100. Some of the people coming through said there are 100 people online, and these are some people that I knew. I don't know. Yeah, I think for the 10K, I guess we would say the same. Yeah, it's fun.
Okay. All right. So we'll do a recap here. So basically, it's now Friday night. Disney calls the race for Saturday morning. Everybody's sort of figuring out what they want to do. There's going to be, you know, lightning overnight. And Disney decides to finally say, okay, we're going to offer you some items. So do you guys find out right away, or did you wait till morning to find out what Disney was going to do? Or was it just sort of like everybody sort of figured it out as they went along?
Well, I couldn't sleep. So I saw the announcement when it came out. And honestly, what was keeping me awake was figuring out where I was going to run my 13 miles the next morning, because nothing was going to stop me from running my 13 miles the next morning.
Was that the big choice that everybody was making down there? Was that big choice of, like, do you run or not run on your own?
Not here. I was debating where I was going to go for breakfast the next morning.
No, it was, I've been thinking about this, and to me, it's kind of like, you know that scene in How the Grinch Stole Christmas, when the Grinch has stolen everybody's presents and he's looking out and waiting for the Who's to be crying, and instead they all get up and start singing. That's what happened. It was really an amazing thing. It was all of a sudden you heard people were posting on Facebook. I saw at Beach Club, all of a sudden there were people running, and it started with a few, and then, you know, there are some people who I think Mike Rahman organized going on at midnight. Yep. Yeah. And then some other people, and then it wasn't just that, then there were people cheering, and then there were people there were water stops at different places, so it was pretty, I think people were very, very determined to do it.
So it was like a grassroots thing. Everybody just started to move.
It really was. So I was hoping that
when did the lightning stop?
Well, they really called it correctly. The time that the race was happening, there was like a red, I don't know if you guys saw it on the radar, I'm sure you did, but there was like a red forward slash right over Orlando where the lightning hit. And I didn't actually see it. It was because I ended up sleeping in. But I heard a lot of people say it was really, really intense.
Yeah. So Jennifer, you were online waiting to see what you were going to get for this?
Yeah, I was awake. While I completely agree that Run Disney was under no legal obligation to do anything, they certainly were under a certain amount of consumer pressure, which isn't entirely fair, but nonetheless, they went above and beyond.
Yeah,
so,
I think so
they gave us four options. And each of these had slightly different logistics as to how you would bring this about. But you could get a refund for your race registration in the form of a gift card. You could get 2 1-day park hoppers. You could transfer registration to another Run Disney half within the next 24 months in the U.S. with subject to availability. Or you could transfer from the half to the full, but there was extremely limited availability for transferring from the half to the full.
What'd you decide to do?
I think I'm going to do the deferral.
Okay.
Because what I'd like to do, though, is I'd like to do the Disneyland Star Wars light side weekend, whatever the challenge is.
Yay!
Next year. That's what I'm hoping to do. Okay. What I don't know is if they're letting you transfer a half registration to apply it to part of a challenge.
Oh,
that'll be interesting.
So, will you let us know what you find out?
Yeah, I will. I've emailed them to ask if I can do that. If they can't let me do that, then I'll take the Disney gift card as my, like, refund. I'm a little amused by that because, like, I registered in April of 2014 for the half in 2015. And how many deferral fees? You know, I paid 2 deferral fees. So, like, what do I get back exactly?
Yeah.
But at any rate, so, yeah, I'm going to go for one of those two. I was briefly really tempted to do the transfer to the full and, like, drop out at the halfway point. But I know myself, and I would not have been able to drop out of the halfway point. Mm. I would have been like, well, I'm just going to walk the rest of it or something like that. Right. And that's crazy because I was flying out Sunday night. So,
yeah. Logistically, it would have been hard.
So it was slightly different for the goofy people. The goofy people were told that we could have we were going to get a refund for the half part of it, and that we would get our half medals on the day of the marathon.
Yep.
And so, same Jennifer, what was you got your medal. You were able to get your medal at the expo, right?
I actually did not go to the expo to get my medal because
they were going to send it.
Yeah, they were going to send it. But then, so on Saturday and Sunday, as you guys know, a lot of people were wearing half marathon luggage tags around their neck as if it was medals because the luggage tag looked like the medal. And I was chatting with somebody who actually had a real medal on for the half, and he had told me that he had picked it up at the finish line info booth for the full.
Oh.
And I found this out at Epcot after the full was over.
Oh.
But I pretty much just booked it on over to the info desk, and they were still there, and they gave me my medal and took down my bib number, and then I scooted back over to Epcot, got my picture with Mickey, and then headed for Magical Express.
Oh, like, wow.
It was like barely just
you're hard
in time.
Hardcore, Jennifer.
But hardcore. I wanted that medal.
So I was wondering, you were staying at different resorts. I can speak to what happened at Beach Club. You know, people were running kind of the loop around Beach Club, Boardwalk, Yacht Club, over towards Studios and back again. I even did see some people running in Epcot, which I actually didn't think was a great idea because they were kind of dodging the regular visitors. But I was wondering, Chad and Jennifer, if you could say what was happening at your resorts.
Yeah, I've told more than a couple people that actually the fake, quote-unquote fake half marathon was the single greatest running event I've ever participated in.
Aww.
I was staying at the French Quarter, and like I said, I wasn't even going to run the 13.1. I followed Fitz had been online and said, you know, you don't need to do it. Save your legs for the full marathon. And I was like, yeah, that makes sense. I'm not going to run. And then I got out there, and I saw some people running in their bibs and some in their costumes. And there's a loop between, of course, French Quarter and Riverside, so they were just going back and forth. And the more I watched them and they're high-fiving each other, I suddenly got the bug, like, you know, I really feel like I need to do this. So I went back in my room, changed, got out there, and started running. And I was overwhelmed by just the spirit of what was happening out there. People were high-fiving each other. I mean, the resorts had set out some water stops. There were complete strangers or guests or whatever that were out there with cowbells and cheering us on, signs. And I was... A, so happy I did it, and B, it was just one of the most empowering, and it made me feel so proud to be part of the running community. Aww. It was just an amazing experience.
That's awesome.
Jennifer, where were you? You were at Pop?
Yeah, I was at Pop, and actually, even before the race was canceled, I was posting on Facebook saying, like, okay, so if I have to run 13.1 miles on my own tomorrow, what's everybody's suggestion for, like, where the longest loop is to run? And ultimately, I decided, you know, I don't want to deal with schlepping back and forth across property. I'll just run here. But I was sad. I thought, like, I'm going to be my sad old tiny self jogging around Hourglass Lake endless times all alone. Like I really felt that way, which is kind of ridiculous in retrospect, but I was not looking forward to this. And then on Saturday morning, I got up and I was like listening to a podcast or something, and I looked at my phone, and a woman named Suzanne from Mickey Milers had Facebook messaged me saying, "I'm running around Hourglass Lake now, come meet me." So I was like, okay, and I put on my clothes and I got out there, and there were a ton of people running. And before I even got to the path, I could hear the people cheering. And when we say people were cheering, I don't just mean people were standing around clapping and yelling encouraging things. I mean people had signs and cowbells, and somebody was handing out candy, and there were kids giving high fives. I mean, it was like a whole bunch of people who had been fully prepared to go cheer for the official race had just decided to go cheer for the runners there. And a lot of people had bibs on, a lot of people had costumes on, and it was really tremendous. And one of the fun things for me online too is I'm a member of Half Fanatics, and on the Half Fanatics Facebook page there was a thread where people were talking about the different resorts and who had run what where, because this guy had posted and said that he had just finished the inaugural Port Orleans Grumpy Half Marathon. And it, you know, so just between the people in person and online, I mean, it was just clear that this thing was going on all over the place. And while I wish the race hadn't had to be canceled, but given that it did, it was fantastic how people responded to it.
And I mentioned, this is why we run Disney, right? I mean, yeah. This is like the people that you run with, and the camaraderie and stuff like that is really what makes these runs special.
I had mentioned Dave McGilvery, the director of the Boston Marathon, and he and his son were running. I think it was at Port Orleans, Chad. He had a picture that he posted on a Facebook friend of his, and he had a picture of probably 20 or 30 people who had run, and he seemed to be really thrilled about it too. So everybody got into the spirit of it.
Yeah, there were dozens out there, and there was even a couple guests at the hotel who had no friends and no horse in the race. They were just there to watch and cheer on, and they must have ordered some bananas from Garden Grocer or something. And then all of a sudden, this giant case of bananas showed up,
were
passed out to the runners. It was amazing. Yeah.
Wow.
That's so cool.
That's such a cool thing. Where'd you? You guys didn't run. You kind of. What did you wind up doing?
I think were we with Becky.
You were drinking at the tequila bar.
No, in the morning. Becky. We were somebody.
No, we were with Justin.
And I know that you broadcast.
Friend, another Boston guy.
You guys did a broadcast from like right there between Epcot and
Facebook Live. Yeah, because we just wanted to capture all the things that we were seeing, all the people running by.
Yeah, everybody was running by us, so I thought if I did that and have people see behind me how many people were running, they would understand, you know, what Chad just eloquently said about the spirit of everyone, you know, the spirit of the runner's heart, you know. So
it was really touching.
Yeah.
What so the obviously the lightning stopped at what point? Like earlier, like 4?
Late morning. And it probably depends a bit on where you were.
Right. So when what time did you guys get out there then?
Yeah. I had breakfast at Kona right when it opened. I had to try the Tonga toast. Yes, I ran my half after the Tonga toast.
Wow.
But you could still see the lightning off in the distance right when the restaurant opened, so it was still lightning then.
Yeah, they definitely made the right call.
Yeah, it was coming up from Tampa.
Yeah, it was the safe choice. You know, what I was thinking was, can you imagine what it would be like if, 27,000 people were spread out over 13 miles and they had to get them off the course?
Yeah.
And the runners.
Where do you take them?
Yeah, the runners, you know, maybe some of the runners are out on the flat road, which is bad science-wise for lightning.
Yeah.
And then others might run under a tree, which is even worse. So they really, really, you know, I'm sure it was a very hard thing for them to decide, but I have no doubt it was the best choice.
Yeah, and I do think that it's worth noting that in terms of safety issues, it is very different for like a few hundred people to be running laps around various resorts versus 27,000 people out on a long
spread out all
course
over.
Like that. Because I did see some people saying, like, well, if all those people were running, then maybe Disney didn't have to cancel the race after all. And I'm like, oh, no, no, the logistics were different. Because there was one point in my run when the thunder was loud enough that I was like, you know, I think it's time to go, like, wring the water out of my socks and put on some more Body Glide. So, like, I ducked inside for a few minutes.
Right. You're close enough to a building that you could get in safely.
Exactly. Exactly. And that just wouldn't have been the case out on the course. So they absolutely did the right call, and we weren't crazy for being out there running in it either.
Right.
Right. And what time were you, like I said, what time were you guys running at this point?
I probably started running around 7 or 7:30.
Oh, so it was still fairly early.
Oh, I started much later. I was about 11 o'clock. Yeah.
Not so bad, right? It takes a couple hours
to
get through. So. What did you guys wind up doing afterward now that you knew, well, Chad, you knew you had a race to run.
Right.
So what, yeah, what was the prep out after that? You just hung out?
Yeah, I just hung out. Yeah, I didn't do anything.
And Jennifer, you had one last day before you were going to go hit an airplane. So what?
Well,
what was the feeling?
I went to the. It was a mixed feeling. I mean, I was still really, really sad and disappointed. But I had my luggage tag medal on, and I'll tell you, there was a camaraderie about the luggage tag medals that, like, when you saw someone else who was wearing one, it just was, it was fun. So
that was the unofficial, like, you knew if somebody wore that, they ran 13.1 that day?
You know, I don't know if that was technically true, but it sure seemed like it. Like, I saw a lot of people wearing the shirts.
Sure.
But people wearing the luggage tags, there just seemed to be a different vibe going on about that. But yeah, I went over to Magic Kingdom. I went to the meet at the Contemporary, the Mickey Milers meet, and that was fun. So I did most of the things that I was planning to do. I probably just stayed out a little bit later because I had been planning to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and it didn't wake up until 6:30.
It's all good. So, Mike, Michelle, what did you guys wind up doing while this was all going on?
We had our friend Justin from Boston had invited us to Chefs de France. So that's what we did.
Nice.
Yeah.
That ends part two of our three-part discussion with Jennifer Teague von Hoffman and Chad Werick on the 2017 Walt Disney World Half Marathon. We still have one more bit of business to attend to wrap up that discussion. And so we hope that you will join us on the next edition of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. So for Chad, for Jennifer, for Chris, for Michelle, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road and in the parks.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.